It's time for slam. All right, welcome to another episode of the Highline Podcast. Today, it's the voice of reason is not here anymore because that boy is busy. But today he's not here, so it's Funta back here. It's been longer been the host of this podcast. If not, the other one would be like the voice of reason say, "I speak nothing but the truth, only what nothing." What did Jesus say again? "I speak nothing but the truth, but nothing but the truth." I don't even know what he says for, but. But anyways, yeah, welcome to another episode of the Highline Podcast. This is Funti back here. Today I have the myth, the legend, the person they talk about, the person that is, how will I say it now? This guy, he says the truth and never jumps ahead of himself.
Yeah, that's it.
Like being in the title race, like being very, very, very cautiously optimistic, you know, step by step, not jumping to being a title race, not jumping to being top four, is on his haters. He's on his haters tour, as I call it now. He's on his haters tour. But yeah, welcome back to the person that we share opinions and he's one of the best in the business. Welcome back, Bulu.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
It's been a minute.
This has been a while, actually. Yeah, man. Great, big fan of the pod.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I release content, I'm there. I'm listening. Especially the days where I'm hearing Chelsea or United. I'm there. It brings me, you know, serotonin. Just it lifts
you
my
know
level.
What serotonin is?
It's not happiness.
It's endorphins, bro.
Yeah, bro. It's the endorphins.
But it says serotonin.
Yeah, it's that's the endorphin for happiness.
Endorphin is for happiness. Serotonin is for sleeping. Or am I don't know if I did.
Melatonin is for sleep. Mess up. Look at you. You ready to start?
No. This is how it's going to be, going back and forth. Anyways, let's get into the nitty-gritty. So, as of yesterday, I'm going to expose this guy. Every single time, he has a mailing list. Anytime my team loses, that's Man United loses. So I know he prepared it because he had it saved in this draft to be able to come at me yesterday. But guess what? God did. So he came out, he tried to come at me, but guess what? God did. So we're going to start from Arsenal United yesterday at Old Trafford. How was the game for you, bro? How was the game?
It was painful. But it was a different kind of pain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was saying seasons gone by, when we go to Old Trafford, if we go there, you know, we can be on a high and we just get beaten.
Mm-hmm.
We're there in our face and, like, we shrink. And you can tell, like, this team can play better. We just didn't show up today. But yesterday, like, watching that performance, even when we went down the first time, I was like, no, we can still come back, like, there's still a chance. Like, we're playing well, we're creating chances. We just have to take them, we'll be fine. So at least I'll give them credit for that. But then I was telling you the other day, I was like, it's just the little things that matter the most in games like that, where
mm-hmm.
you're playing a high back line. If you switch up for a second, that's a Bruno pass, you know, the one in 20. And then it came through. And Fonton knows how much I hate Brent. Anytime he's hitting on him, I'm right there with him.
For me, I don't hate Bruno. I just think Bruno is undercoached. Like I said, I don't know what the plan. I don't know what his coaches thought about him. But
yeah, that was like watching that game. I think Arteta said in the All or Nothing, like in both boxes we weren't at our best.
Between the boxes,
we were doing great. Our build up, we're getting into like your half, like. Mm. When like the final third, it was just okay. When we get in there, right, make the right pass, okay, or take the shot, or why we still like taking an extra touch, like little things like that. Where it comes to the young team, whether you're naive, you know, we go 1-1, everyone wants to be a hero, everyone we are going for that win. You forget you have defending to do. So, like, The first 30 minutes after the game, I was fuming. Like, my head was hot.
First 30 then, minutes?
Like, first 30 minutes, no, after the game, because I was fuming. I was like, ah, can we lose again? That kind of thing. And I sat back and I was like, okay, at least going through that game, up until the third goal, I always thought we can still do something.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to give credit to ETH because he set up well. He knew that, okay, yeah, he can kill us on the counter. And it worked to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
But how about you? Like, I'm sure you must have enjoyed the game.
Bro, you know I told you that no one should text me for until after the game. Because, fam, I couldn't deal with that. Knowing fully well, my household, my phone, everybody was trying to talk to me. I was like, nah, I'm going to serve my Lord and Savior in the church. And I went to turn off my phone. I put my phone in the car because I was like, I'm not trying to think about it until someone told me about the score, basically. But yeah, like, for me, it's just... I'd say people, I think from the last few episodes, I think people finally get that. I rate Arsenal this season because, like, it's a project. I can finally see what Arteta has been fighting for. And I'm a big fan of positional play. So when I see Arsenal play that way, it's like, you know what? I'm just like, I can't hate anymore. They're so good. So the one thing I saw from that game from Arsenal was that, you know, like, after rewatching and understanding the game, it was just like, they played well. On another day, some of those chances Arsenal could have scored. But United defended well and rode their luck. Luck was on our side today and were ruthless because that's how it is. It reminded me of Oli Ball. That was Oli Ball at his best. And you know what? You think about what I love about ETH for me has been like the situation where he has not been naive. His naivety showed in the first two games, but finally realized, you know what? Like, I don't have the players that can play to my strengths, but I will still show them some things they can do on the ball, but they won't be all tippy-tappy, passing the ball around. They know that my strength is this thing, is just to go on the counter. And especially against a team like Arsenal that are playing high line, those things happen. That is how you beat Man City, typically. Everything was how you beat Man City. But one thing I can say is Christian Eriksen, bruv.
I can't lie. I remember when you made the free signing, I was just thought, okay, at best, he'll phase out Bruno.
Uh-huh.
But I'd never envisioned a midfield where both Bruno and Eriksen start.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I give ETH credit,
mm-hmm.
where he's been able to, like, because it's the same thing like Arteta did when he first started, when he was playing the three at the back. He was able to hide the weaknesses of all the players in that system and bring out their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what ETH is doing now is the same thing. Or like Scott McTominay now is looking like a great midfielder.
Don't do that.
He's
been decent. He's been decent.
The past 2 to 3 games might have been like, okay, I know this guy takes a lot of slander because he deservedly needed that slander. But he's up his level the past 3 games. And you have to give credit to the coach for that.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Rashford now, he's looking like he might have 3-4 goals this season already. And hey man, big game Rashford. Really, he's been and like now he's been able to bring in his boys, you know, raise the competition. Because now, as opposed to just having Rashford and Sancho, now you have Anthony in there. So all three of them know, okay, act. For me to get in this team, I need to raise my game. So I'll give ETH credit for that. He set up a system where United can flourish and still slowly introduce his own ideas.
Principles, yeah.
Because, and now that I look back, I think those Brentford and Brighton games came too early. Maybe should have come later in the season because he had the transfer window to be like, okay, we need to rectify this.
So if you're wearing a hitting cap, you're saying that, you know what, like, you wish he did not lose those games physically.
Yeah, I wish it was, everyone thought, oh, he's doing something where he was trying to ride in their luck.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the window closed, then it all falls apart. But unfortunately, things didn't go as planned. But it's fine. Like I said, This season is going to be give and take. When I saw it up, oh my God, just avoid me because I've been in the streets. But then now, you know, I'm in hiding. I give myself 3-4 days and then I'll come out.
Now, the one thing that I can say is that, you know, Arsenal are decent. And, you know, if you look at their previous 3 games, they were unbeaten in 5 or 6.
Right.
They were unbeaten in 5. They won all their games for five. So it's to say that it's been easy. Like, I can say Arsenal were amazing they've been amazing for the last few games. One thing about this Arsenal that seems different is like not resting back, even when they lose the game, even when they're losing, even when they've scored a goal against them. Like Arsenal have been decent. When you think about the games against Villa, they were undone immediately. They scored immediately. Villa scored from that Douglas Luiz corner, which for me, I was like, I don't know. You know, it's been a week. It's been a bad week of referee decisions when we think about all the situations there. But think about Villa. Think about how they came back against Fulham. Alexander Mitrovic again, moved proving mad, proving to everyone that
He's going for that 15-goal mark.
he's going for that 15. He's at six now.
Okay. Oh, you
Or
know
five. Is that six or five? I can't quite remember.
what? I think six, maybe raise the standards. He's going for that 20-goal mark.
20, relax now. Do you know if you're
I
20 goal,
personally think.
do you know what it means to have Fulham to be 20 goal mark? That is almost close to a European contending place, bro.
Oh no, I think he can. Like, I think he'll be there, like one of the, like he won, like he. The next person after him will probably have like 6-5 goals. Like he's gonna carry the burden of like for them staying up. Like Fulham is staying up. Because
Fulham
like
is stepping up because they
Fulham,
made good signings.
they made good signings and they've realized okay, we can still play, we're not gonna fear anyone, but we're also gonna be realistic. But I think they're gonna stay up, and I think Mitrovic is gonna be a big reason why. And honestly, that's gonna be a good thing for his name. Because the last time he was here, like he was tarnished. Because everyone, I'll be honest, when he was shooting up in the championship, I was like, come on, man, championship when he was in Prem, what did he score?
40,
Three goals? Four.
you know he broke the record. I think it was 40
Yeah,
goals. I can't quite remember.
40 something. Yeah. So now that he's doing it in Prem, it's like telling everyone, shut up, man. Like this is what I do. So honestly, I respect that. And you just look across the Prem, bro. Number nine is back. Number nine is back.
But
It's
yeah,
been a while.
let's just put down the side for now. What is the issue with Arsenal's midfield? Because I know you've been singing God do I beg, or who will help me, bruv?
See, my major problem now with Arsenal is our first 11 is good. We have a good 14, 15 players where you can rely on them. I know, okay, our level won't drop significantly. But the problem is, you're looking at midfield, and for our setup to work, number five is paramount to the success of our team. In terms of shielding the back for his defensive actions, in terms of his line breaking passes, progressive plays. And the thing was, I think at the early in the window, the club decided, okay, we're gonna have Elneny to back him up. And Elneny is like honestly, in terms of like, okay, shield the back four and just play sideways passes, he gets it done. And relatively injury free. So it was rather unfortunate how number five, we all know, played what 50% of his games at Arsenal. So when he went down injured, I wasn't even surprised. I was like, oh, it's a bit early even, but I was like, okay, sure. Then I think 2 days later, it's like, oh, Elneny is out for months. That's when I started to panic. That transfer deadline, I called you, I was looking at the free agent list. I saw Dembele, bro. I saw Dembele, I was thinking,
Wait, Moussa
can this
Dembele,
thing,
I
Moussa
got one
Dembele?
more in me.
I said, can this guy come back, just do a Ramos handoff something over
I
here?
got one more in me.
Chelsea released Ross Barkley. When you sent me that message, I thought about it for a few seconds. I said, no. But yeah, so I said at the time, but then I realized, like with the Douglas Luiz attempt, for example, and it was a case where he paid 30 million for a player with 1 year left.
25,
Yeah,
23,
like,
23 point plus two.
yeah. Oh no, like I understand why the club didn't go above 25 because it's like, okay, he has 1 year left on his contract. And this is genuinely a panic buy. And it's a case where I personally hope, like, going back to number five, he's like, we know he's not reliable. I'm not even sure how many games he can play this season. And paramount to our success. So I understand having Elneny cover. So when Elneny went down injured, I was like, of all things to happen at this possible time, worst case scenario, pretty much. And now my biggest fear is Lokonga is still,
Developing.
I still believe in him, but I think he's an eight more than a six. Because just watching that game yesterday, he can progress the ball. He's like, his position, and sometimes he might chew for the ball sometimes. But the problem I have with him is, is ball watching the right word? Or, you know, like as a like the Rodri, Fabinho last season, Partey, like what they do is they're always in the right position to like break up play or just be a body there so that so you have to redirect it somewhere else. I was looking at the first United goal and where Gabriel had to step into, and I was like, at least I was believing Gabriel, like, why is Gabriel up there? Like, come on, you left the defense. Then I realized
Lokonga.
Partey is the one around there. Where's Luke? Like, where is Lokonga then? And
Who
then
was
once I looked,
ball watching?
ball watch, and I started noticing it more and more. I was like, Lukonga, come on, man. Like, you have to be, or maybe like everything just bypassing. I'm like, you have to make his life difficult, that kind of thing. And now I'm just worried because the same number five is due to be back this month. Yeah, he might be back, but then if we don't know when he's going to get injured. He's going to go to the World Cup. We don't know what's going to happen. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, I can do one more season of having number five. But however, you know, before the season, everyone was saying, oh, we need a backup for number five, we need a backup for number five. We need number five to be a backup to someone at this point. That's what me I want. Like next season, go get me like a starting, you starting six who can fit in the role. Because right now, we're heavily reliant on him. And if it goes well and he stays injury free and he's there for the whole season, Arsenal would definitely be fine. But if it's the case where you know, he's playing what 19 games, he's not available for the Europa knockout stages. Yeah, I think it'll be a tough road to achieve top four this season.
All right, just one last question on the Man United then. On Man United, what is your opinion without your haters cap on?
I'll be honest, like before United, Erik ten Hag, I was a fan of, and I can see what he's building like. And the funny thing is, after giving Arteta time, and I'm like, yeah, give ETH time. They like, it's not going to be as smooth as this. They're going to be bumps. They're going to be games where maybe he'll be like, okay, you know what, I'm facing lower opposition. Guys, you know what, let's be more free. Let's be more attacking. It might backfire. They'll begin to look like, this is Ten Hag ball at its best. So right now, at the beginning of the season, I was like, you know what, this top four race is going to be, you know, the top four from last season and Arsenal figuring it out. But I genuinely think you guys now. So it's the big six fighter for top four. And I think it's gonna be a season for the books, bro.
Yeah,
Rashford is at his best.
the Barclays Super League, bruv.
It's the Barclays.
Barclays. Let's think about more about the Barclays Super League. We're going to talk about Man City and Erling Haaland again. It's not looking good, bruv.
Said, yeah, if you get 25 goals, and I think you'll be fine. I'm looking like an idiot.
No, do you know how funny it is? Like, man is in double figures in September. A player that scores 25 goals a season gets double figures around end of September, beginning of October.
Oh,
That is
that's
the
what
normal
if you
rate.
have like a Lacazette in your team,
Yeah.
you're thinking a 3-year return, bro.
I survive like Lacazette still goes on here, bro. Despite every one of you. All of you guys will never leave that guy. He scored, I think he scored 2 goals in the last game before Leon now.
I'm happy for him, but I don't want to see that guy near London again, bro. That game with scars. But no, moving back to Haaland, it makes no sense, man. And I think one of the big risks between him and Lukaku, Haaland doesn't stop. Like I think people were complaining where he had 7, 8 touches. But you look
But
at
he had
like
one assist though.
yeah. But the thing is, you look at his activity. Lukaku, like there's some players where in the first 15 minutes, if it doesn't go well for them, you know,
It's done.
he's not in game. With Haaland, it's like, all right, for this 90 plus whatever additional time is there, be focused. Because he's going to keep making runs, he's going to keep demanding the ball. Bruh, that guy's a monster. Like, I didn't think he was fast.
You didn't think
The
it
other
was
guy,
fast?
like, I've seen him in like, you know, in Bundesliga, about Bundesliga, I'm like, you know what? No, that's
The
Bundesliga,
spacing
man.
behind.
Yeah, especially like, but I'm seeing him against Premier League proven defenders, holding them off, pacing them, shaking them. Which goal was it where like the guy rested in and he just bounced off him? And I'm like, nah, this guy's a monster. And he has
Android,
all
bro.
the tools. And I think City, I don't think City have adapted fully to him yet. I think City is still realizing,
We
yo,
got
we
a
don't have
monster. We got a
to.
monster up front. The problem is that for me, I still City do this situation where you know what we have. You know when it when I don't know if you play like semi-pro amateur football. One thing is that what it does do is lump the ball to the striker. The striker will run. especially when you have a fast player that can run in behind and is strong and everything. That's what City were doing it for some time against Aston Villa. They even did it against Newcastle for a time, which literally gives away the control that City love. So eventually, all I'm saying is that City, like Kevin De Bruyne is a good player, and I see him do madness sometimes. Like, look at the goal in Aston Villa, the one against the cross for Aston Villa. All they know is that, you know what, Haaland, is literally Haaland. Sometimes you do Haaland is there, inshallah, bro.
And I see the problem here. I think City is going the direction of death by a thousand cuts. Because what it is now is, I think at some point,
that is so good.
Prem defenders will be like, okay, maybe this is the best way to contain Haaland.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem then is, you now focus on them, City go back to what they do best, which is just bore you to death passing around. Mm-hmm. And like, you just focus on one player, someone else can kill you.
Everywhere around. You can't, if you focus on two, there'll be another person. Focus on three, another person. The problem is that you cannot, if you double team, bro, the worst thing you can do is double team on against City.
So, and even me just watching the game, sometimes I get bored and I'll just look at my phone. Next thing I know, oh, they go to goal. I'm like, what do you mean goal? Like, which goal? I think it was the Grealish one where they went there. This is the first few games where Grealish had the ball in the penalty.
Against West Ham.
I looked at my phone and I looked up and I saw Haaland finish. And I was asking, like, what happened? I was like, yeah, Man City. I was like, but they were just passing around. That City, and now imagine being an actual defender. Wait, you have to be focused. Okay, no, not for the defense, the whole team. Because they move you around, they make you run.
Mm-hmm.
With City, I still think City is not like at their best yet, mm-hmm. which is what scares me.
And that's the thing, they start the season this way. The fact that they're already eating teams up, like the Nottingham Forest was 6-0. Shout out to Julian Alvarez, man. I don't know why, I just like, you know, when you know, I always said this thing about when you have that football inkling, when it's like, he's nice.
There's a player there.
He nice. Julian Alvarez.
How City got him and Haaland for less than 100 million?
70.
Both of them, it makes sense. Like
51 million great, and 14.5. That was the
it. It was great because you look at how much the attackers were going for in this window. City got their business done early and they were like, well, fine. Because you compare, like, after looking at the prices, if you really put Haaland and you compare him to the rest, Haaland should be 100 million north, 120 million. But the average, what he's done, probably you're saying 30, 35 million. Done their business early, they've done their scouting, they know, okay, look, this is who he wants. They've convinced Haaland since when? April, early May,
mm-hmm.
was a done deal. Nah, City is good. I think they're going to scroll to the title. And you know that October period where it's like everyone has like 6-7 games?
Yeah, before the World Cup, where they just do 13 on. But the thing is that the post in the World Cup might be to their detriment at some point because they have to stop.
Oh, no, definitely. But I think that October running is a very big time for all the clubs. Because then it's like...
they need to get enough points, bro.
Yeah, get enough points and you see where you're at. And it's also a good way to be like, okay, because you know after a World Cup, this January transfer window
is going to be crazy.
It's going to be mad.
It's going to be crazy.
You can look at him and say, okay, what do we need? Mm-hmm. Maybe if City's head, they're like, okay, what do we need to make sure we secure this title? If you're in the top four, it's okay, what do we need to make sure we can secure top four? What do we need to know to achieve our targets? You look at the World Cup, players are going to be moving mad. The January transfer is going to look like summer.
What's happening is that November, the World Cup starts, I think, November 21st, finishes December 20-something. Premier League, another leagues start around Boxing Day or January, Boxing Day, then January 1st transfer window. Literally, it's like the only like muscle memory coming. Sorry, not, I would like to say muscle memory. It's coming to play that, you know what, the only thing we know about right now is that the last thing we watched was good players in the World Cup. So,
remember. So, like, honestly, I believe you look at City and you look at most of like the big six clubs now.
Mm-hmm.
For me now, how when the season is okay, how many players are you sending to the World Cup?
Yeah.
Let's see, how does it happen? Like, anytime I'm watching an Arsenal game, I'm praying to God that Southgate, I just got to beg you. Take care of Saka. Just go to beg you, Mark.
Which reminds me, Saka cooked yesterday, bro. He ate Malaysia raw.
Yeah, team.
Honestly,
I'm glad. Unfortunately, you know, we're in that era now where it's, oh, if you don't have a goal, you start
Oh,
the
that's
season.
it. Boy, he cooked. He cooked. That's the
Like,
first person that I've really. Somebody said it that Saka gave more trouble to Malaysia than Salah, which is a
and
good segue to go into Liverpool again. Liverpool, the last few games, let's even like the Everton game. Everton were fantastic. Let me not lie. And
everything.
Liverpool, like we. I'm sorry, but I think you know what? I think we kind of. I think I kind of. Sleep, no, I wouldn't say. I don't really rate Lampard highly, but they haven't lost in four games. They're just not scoring.
Oh, no, like I feel with Everton is after what I think what happened last year was, you know, when you're in a bad spot and you just panic and you just remember, like, you have the tools to do better, but you're just like, just the, your environment around you, everyone is in a sour mood, like, it's just downbeat. So I think that was what happened. And for them, it was just like, what is going on? But now that they're up, I think, you know, fresh start to the
They haven't won
season.
a game, but they've not lost in four.
And that's the things you can build on. Where it's like, okay, guys, let's work on that defensive solidity. Let's figure that out, and then we'll be fine. And then maybe from there, you know, we can sneak in a goal here and there. And like with Everton now, like with Lampard, I'm like, okay, because I'll be honest, I thought Lampard was going to go before his great friend Stevie G. But now it's Aston Villa. I'm looking, I'm like, something's going on over there. But with Liverpool. Okay, I'm not gonna jump the gun here,
I still think you're
but
gonna finish in the Champions League space places, let me be honest.
definitely.
But
They're gonna finish second, but it's not gonna be 2 points, 3 points. I think it's supposed to be as much as 9, 10 points
9, 10 points this season, bro.
between Liverpool and City. Plus, what's the difference now? Is it 7, 8 points between them and City right now? And you know how fine margins it is. Any point they drop, and they're dropping points against Fulham, against Crystal. Certain way, okay, you need to pick them up and know, okay,
Against Everton as well too.
I
The
have
whole
them.
thing is that I think Liverpool, first of all, that midfield, who did they play this week? But they did play like Harvey Elliott. Harvey Elliott is a bowler. I would not lie on him. I'm
He's a
looking for
bowler, but are you relying on a 19-year-old midfielder to
true.
compete against this City side to get you points?
And he brought Milner back into to play right back against Alexander Arnold. I question all those midfield substitutions. I question why, like, Arthur is coming, and I would like to see what they would do with him. Like, let me
What you
see.
think? Yeah.
Like, we don't know anything. Like the Juve gene with, in fact, Max Allegri gene. We don't know what it is about the player yet.
He holds back players, man.
Max
Shout
Allegri,
out to Vlahovic. He's feeling it now.
he's feeling it now, but he's scoring from dead ball situations, bro.
Hey, man. Go score as a striker, man. Come on, man.
Like he's scoring from dead ball situations, which is free kicks. Like I never knew he had that in his locker, but literally, it's just been like we never know anything about Ade Allegri Jin. Like that's why we talk about. We even get to Chelsea where they talk about Denis Zakaria and all those kind of things. We never know what it is about the Juve players. But what we're saying is that Liverpool, I watch Liverpool and it's just like there's no bite. There's not that bite anymore. Like. Yes, Sadio Mane went, and I think yes, it's placed a lot. Luis Diaz will eventually come because, bro, that's turning inside and running in,
Post.
and hitting the post. Yeah, it's gonna be that. That's how he plays. Like literally, that can like literally that will be it will eventually happen because that's what it is. He will eventually click at some point, but it just feels like you know what that bite from Liverpool that. He used to see that, you know what, at every point. But let me be honest, they hit the bar four times or three times. They did create chances, but it's just like
There's something different. It's like you watch them, and you're like, this energy level, it's not what it used to be. I think Salah had a slow start to the season. I'm
I said
still.
Mo Salah was gonna win the Golden Boot, but
Go
you know what I thought about how
hide, bro. Go
you know
hide.
all of us were you know when you're just trying to protect yourself from the inevitable that this is too good to be true, like
Like it can't happen, can
it
it?
can't happen, like
And
literally,
now watching it, you're like, you know what? Why did I ever doubt?
like just calm, it's okay, bro. But like
Now, with the Liverpool, the kids, I think it was against United when I saw their midfield, and I was like, nah, Liverpool is not serious. I saw that, and I've seen now. I think I don't think apparently Naby Keita wasn't registered for the Champions League squad.
Really?
I saw that the other day. That's a 60 million midfield signing that they made who has not turned around.
Nobody talks about him. People need to talk about him, but he's like, a flop. It's
he
a
has
big
been a flop.
Flop.
And I'm just going to let Liverpool team. I'm like, okay, you have an injury-prone Thiago. I don't think Fabinho has been at his best this season yet. Maybe you step it up. You look at Henderson. Oh, what is your voice of reason? Is he a PE captain?
No, sports prefect.
Sports prefect. Milner. I mean, shout out to Milner, man. With 37 and still going, but
bro.
The thing is that
I also question Klopp for not even adapting, because he plays this 4-3-3 thing, and at some point maybe he's just like readjusting to 4-2-3-1 and everything. Because I was reading on something, they're just like, at some point adjust and to the players you have. Like, you cannot expect Milner and Henderson to be doing the things of a 2 number 8, bro.
That's ridiculous. So, like, I just look at it, I'm like, okay, this move doesn't give you the control it used to. You lost Sané. Salah's dad, he hasn't kicked on yet.
Yeah.
Darwin Nunez decided. I mean, I'm hoping. I think he will come in.
You know, or something. I said. Someone said, it's for the good of football that Darwin Nunez doesn't really succeed because he's not clean, and for a player like that to succeed.
It really
looks not too good for football, because like, but I'm saying that Darwin brings that chaos factor, and I've seen it, like, he does it so much. And the thing is that he's an elusive finisher. There was this shot he scored that Pickford saved, and I think after that Luis Diaz hit the bar and everything. But in all that situation, I just thought to Liverpool, I'm just like, they will be fine, but maybe it's time for a massive rebuild than they think.
I think so too. And the problem now is, will they receive the backing?
FSG, we don't know what they're going to do, man.
Because they thought Michael Edwards was great
at his business.
He was excellent for them.
But Klopp has not shown any adaptation too, bro.
Yes, he hasn't shown that. And
even from that season that they were bad, that's 2021 season, that
he eventually stuck to that.
He still stuck to that 4-3-3. Still puts players behind it. There has not been any point of adaptation. Like, go back to a 4-2-3-1, play decent like that, put two midfielders there. I think you can play a midfield of not Curtis Jones and Fabinho in it, because that would be not good on him. Let's even see Arthur there. Let's see Arthur there, like Otto and Fabinho, let's see how it goes from there. Then play Fabinho in the 10 and everything. Like, just move it around a bit. Like, adapt to the situation. Not just throw players in the 4-3-3 and expect them to do the work.
They expect it to work. Well, with Liverpool, it's a case where I think they'll climb up the table. They're going to reach second. I think, for going back a bit to the newness thing, I think I still have some... I respect Klopp as a coach. You know that. He could coach something out of this.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at this kind of place, you're like, you have it in you, like, just to clean things up here. And then I think coaches enjoy that. Whereas, like, you give them, like, a raw talent, and you're like, okay, I can morph this guy into a
I can
camp.
Mold it into this, yeah.
Yeah. And it also reflects backward on the coach, because then in the future, you're like, look what, like, I think that's what carried him through.
Baba Wenger, yeah, that's what he's doing.
Because you look at Wenger, you just, some of the players, and I still remember, Koscielny to this, I remember when he first came. I was so annoyed. Romelu was another one. I just players was like, okay, you have talent here to succeed, and I can mold you into someone great. That kind of thing. So I think it might happen with Nunez, because I believe in the brand. I won't go down yet.
Oh yeah, you're a Darwin Nunez fan.
Yeah, I personally think that, because I remember there was still a link with Arsenal. I was like, okay, I can see why. I know, you know, watch the bit of him. So I'm hoping, you know, he comes clean. But with Liverpool, it's the question of, okay, Klopp, let's say you still suck the best out of this team and, you know, you carry them to second. What happens next season? You're going to have Van Dijk pushing with 32, 33. 31,
32. 31, 32. Yeah, that's true.
Another year in Milner's legs. Are we really going to be playing this 33 year old Milner?
I got one more in me, bro.
So like I'm just like, okay, now then it's like, all right, now you have to be shrewd in the market. It's already an inflated market. Yeah, so you have to make sure the signings you get are good. Because that's how the market is going now. It's either like you're buying like low risk, like 6 million, 7 million places, like, okay, this project, or you're paying 50, 60 million for players
Was
who
100 million after add-ons.
yeah. So it's at least and it's the case now where we're no longer playing the actual price of the player. Like now is
The market dictates.
the selling club is dictating, look, this player is worth this much to us. So if you want it, give us this money. And clubs now realizing, because now, especially in the Premier League also, I mean, Villa rejected 25 million for a player with 1 year less on his contract.
That's true. He should be going for nothing less than in a few months now, he'll be going for 10, 15 million, bro.
So clearly clubs now in the Premier League, they're like, look, we already have money and we can keep this place. So now give us what we want, that kind of thing. So I think here, like in the future, that's where I'm looking at Liverpool, and I'm like, there's a hole there. And that's where I'm like, one of these other big six teams is gonna step up.
All right. Let's take a quick break and be right back. Okay. All right, we're back. Today, next thing we're going to talk about is Tommy Tuchel and his Chelsea. I'm not a hater, but I am also someone who asks questions. And I have to ask questions about Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea. So their last three results have been the 2-1 to Leicester, although Leicester have been on a downward spiral, which, by the way, a little segue into Leicester. Everyone was asking why they didn't spend this thing. But there was a report of them losing almost 170 million in losses, which is one of the highest records in the Premier League. So now there is understanding why the whole situation has been doing. And Brendan Rodgers was like, you know what, I didn't have any back in the market and everything, which to me now I understand, but they should be doing better.
No, I think something happened in Leicester's dressing room. For them to lose Schmeichel, like I know, yes, you don't have money, but
But
they got
Schmeichel
one.
cost 1 million.
Like, so I think something happened in the dressing room, and I think that might have fractured the team, and he didn't receive financial backing.
Anyway, like I don't know what the future holds for Leicester. Patson Daka still looks there. I rate him a bit, but apparently they tell me I rate mid players. This is the guy that told me that I rate mid players, but Sumari is not looking good.
It's not looking good, bro.
It's not
It's not
looking
looking good.
good. Jamie Vardy looks like he's washed. Which is understandable. He's 35 and he's been running. Like
Like,
literally.
which it makes sense, but I'm looking at Leicester and I'm like, okay, Tielemans, you just lost Fofana. Tielemans is definitely leaving next season. A player like Maddison, how long can they keep hold of
Did Madison has signed a new contract? If you
him?
move,
I'm not too
I don't know. It
sure what.
feels like he has a contract here 2026. 20. I don't know why my mind thought of 2026, but yeah.
Suddenly, like players like this, it's like they realize, okay, I think I've done more than I can with this team. It's time for me to move on.
Why is James Maddison for like this thing telling me? James Maddison is bringing off what do you call it? Anyways, let's go to Chelsea. Chelsea Football Club, the last three results have been 2-1 win against Leicester, 10-man Leicester, a 2-1 loss to Southampton, and a 2-1 win to sorry, a very, very controversial 2-1 win against West Ham. First of all, let's start him from that West Ham second goal.
My
And Jarrod Bowen was running, and this man literally, and I think Bowen even did his best. He jumped over him,
Mandy, yes.
over Mendy. It was just his trailing leg, but Mendy decided to act on the floor. Good acting, Mendy. Good acting. Maybe your new career is calling there. I'm just joking. You're a decent goalkeeper, but and they go to score. Max O'Connor scores. And for me, I'm just like, there's no point in canceling that goal. But as soon as I saw them cancel as soon as I saw the referee go to the screen, I was like, yeah, it's being canceled because I just don't get it. I just don't get it. The amount of referee decisions we have had this week, talking about Newcastle's own, all of that, it's wild.
Now, with that game, I was watching it, and West Ham deserved that goal. And then you also look at Has there ever been a point where they've called the ref to the VAR and
They
the
don't
game
change
changed?
that decision, yeah. Even in the Arsenal game too. Yeah, we even forgot to
Like,
say that.
because they're like, one, Mendy has not been
He's
the
not
Mendy
been.
of the Champions League this season.
Yeah.
And two, like, I'm just that Chelsea, like, okay, you know, like, for me, I'm like, Thomas Tuchel, I think he can still work with that Chelsea team.
Yeah.
I think before this window, his only signing has been Lukaku, which obviously we all know how that ended. But I'm like, he received players, some players from the Sarri era, some players from the Lampard era, who
Yeah.
didn't make it. And he's had to work with that. And he won a Champions League with that. So I give him immense credit for that. But now I'm like, you know, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, now I've used the team you gave me. Now I need my own team. I need to enact my own vision and then build the club how I want to. So I think that's what he's trying to do. And like, you also look at it, they lost two centre backs last season. So I get happy with saying, oh, why aren't you going in for centre backs? Well, they need to get two more. Thiago Silva is not getting any younger. So in an ideal world, I'm sure they would have preferred three. Two straight into the starting XI, and then maybe one to slowly like back up Thiago Silva. I know you can rotate, give him a rotating option. Then you look at Chelsea also. I was really excited about this Cucurella signing, but looking at how they want to play, and I think they need
More of Chilwell.
would I say a more dynamic fullback? Cucurella is more of a, okay, I'm going to come into the midfield. I'm going to help with this bit of faith. But Nedy was like, okay, I'm going
And
down
when
to.
you lo and when we lose the when you lose the ball, basically it helps you.
Yeah. Well, now I'm looking at him like, all right, I think Chilwell might fit a bit better in this team. And then I even look at some. I
Sorry,
look at
that
some.
game proved it. That
Yeah,
game
I look.
proved it because like sorry to can I speak?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened was that you know what, like Cucurella was just being doing his job, covering defensively and everything, which made me think maybe he's just a left center back when I think of it. Then you think about how Chilwell came. Chilwell was more overlapping, underlapping, making the runs. That's how the goal came. There were more runs. He was pushed, stretching the defense more or less. There was more rotations around him. That was the issue. But Cucurella, it felt more, it felt less dynamic. And I'm not saying Cucurella is a bad player. I'm just saying maybe that's not his position.
Oh no, I definitely see why City went for him. I see why City
Oh,
went
yeah.
like, he'll be a better fit, you know, at the City. You know, like, funny enough, you know how clubs now are moving into inverted fullbacks? Chelsea is the only one where they are more still focused on, nah, our wing backs, they
Adam,
are hard. Yeah.
which is my question, which is my problem with Chelsea. Chelsea, to it proved again that all they do is give the ball to the wing backs. There is no way I could not see anywhere. West Ham came with a deep block. Yeah, it was a deep block. Sat in front of them. Chelsea were just playing from side to side. Get the ball to Reece James corner. Go side to side. Maybe Cucurella tries a cross, blocked corner. Chelsea had 10 corners before West Ham had their first corner. I think that's the 9 or 10 corners before their first corner. So all I could see was Chelsea was just moving from side to side. And that first half was legitimately boring. And I had to ask.
It was awful.
It
And the
was.
funny thing is, what Chelsea need, I mean, people say, well, they need a Hazard, but they need to have someone who can operate in that half space, who can pick up ball against the slow blocks, either drive the player, pass, or like, you know, just like create space for themselves and create space for others.
But
And look at
the thing is
the
that they think Sterling does that, and that's
Oof.
asking too much of Sterling.
Don't, please don't do that to Raza. Please do not do that to Raza. Because this can just tarnish him. I know that Chelsea fan base, when they turn on the player, it gets ugly. So now that's why in my mind I'm like, Tommy, please, I respect you. Do not put Sterling in a position where it will look bad. And not in cutting Aubameyang. I hope he doesn't play Aubameyang and Sterling and then decide to play them on Mount. Because that's atrocious, bro. Those are war crimes. Those are war crimes.
Aubameyang,
Selling
Sterling.
amount.
I mean, who else would they play?
Look, I don't know how you're gonna revive
That's what I'm
Kyle.
saying. Those things confuse me. Like, I'm asking myself. Does playing a back three really benefit Chelsea at this point in their life? Because now they have Fofana. They can play Fofana and Koulibaly. I mean, everyone says black center backs together don't work, but Southampton are doing something there. Let's be honest. But like, we can talk about all of those situations. why don't you just switch to a back four, play with Chilwell? They love to stick in him being a deep line playmaker seems to be his best position because all those right wing inverting doesn't work. Rich James is a right wing back or a right back. But the thing is that the primary focus for Chelsea is that their most creative player, the player they depend on to create, is Rich James.
Yeah, and you need him to be as close to goal as, which is why I get the whole back three.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah. But my own situation is that we can basically exact. I would say you even do invert. You know how Arsenal played the 2-3 build up?
Yeah.
Chelsea can do that as well too. Where instead of Rich James, inverting, he could be the outlet on the right wing.
Yeah, but then I look at Chelsea and I'm like, okay, they could. But then in their midfield, are they going to play with 1-6 and 2-8? Are they going to play with two holding mids? Because they don't have a 10. So you can't do a 4-2-3-1.
I mean, so they're missing Mount and Kai Havertz, bro.
the less I speak on that, the better. But like, yeah, but like, okay, so you play with the 4-3-3. And then you have Kante and Kovacic, as good as they are.
Injury prone.
Availability is still the worst. Availability is the biggest.
Biggest stat or something. I've forgotten what it is. I know what you're saying about, yeah.
But like, you need to be there. Like, that's how we know you're good. But like, so you want those two, you're going to lose them. Maybe that's what the Zakaria signing. Zakaria.
Yeah, Denis Zakaria.
Yeah, that's not where the signing comes in. Maybe he's thinking of maybe moving into that. But with Chelsea's, like, there are a lot of moving parts and you don't see where they fit.
Question marks, because this is my problem. Yeah. I always ask that these are very, very, very good players. But it's a question of how is this going to work for me? The Conor Gallagher thing, they think it's Conte. I get why they see that, but literally it doesn't work like that. I'm always going to say that I love Conor Gallagher, but I just think he's better in a mid-table club.
I think either he might have, it would have helped him with another young loan, or you cash him early. Because shout out to Joe Willock, who I think is like a similar thing with Joe Willock. Where I remember sometimes I watched Joe Willock at Arsenal. I think it was more he was getting goals. I was like, was this guy like?
Oh, the one who was in Newcastle when he scored like six or seven goals in a row, yeah.
In my mind, I know people were like, oh, no, we need to bring him back. I was like, nah, bro. Because well, I've seen it, I think we played him as a 10 or played him as a... Just also, like, we couldn't fit him anywhere in the team. He's one of those players where, it's, okay, either you build around him, or you can't fit him in a system that's really, it might be difficult. So I think Conor Gallagher is that same mode where it's like, there's a Premier League player. We are just not caught out. For Chelsea. Maybe not yet.
Exactly. Maybe I'm being too harsh for him. For Chelsea. Yeah, for Chelsea. Because someone said something about Conor Gallagher to Liverpool. I was like, okay, fair enough. I said fair enough because I could see it.
I think it's a better option than Milner.
I saw it. I was like, Conor Gallagher to Liverpool. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes a bit of sense because of how clubs play. And Gallagher to me is one of those Chiniwanan players who get into the box and all of that. I wouldn't say really in the mode of Chiniwanan, but it's not really. Chelsea need a creative player. Chelsea's system seems too rigid and like too many square pegs in round holes and everything. And it's just like Mason Mount on the right side. I think Mason Mount is an 8. Just this is why I say every week you come here and it's just like more and more questions. And I know that you believe Thomas Tuchel. I think, yeah, Chelsea might just scrape into top four, but it's not going to be that straightforward as we think.
No, like I was saying earlier, the top four races, it's tricky. Like, personally for me, I'm watching Arsenal, and my heart is telling me, guys, let's try and go for third. Let's get fourth. But my head is also like, you have our midfield issues. So they're relatively a young squad. I'm like, can we do it? You look at Chelsea. We have coaches about Chelsea. You look at United, a new coach, a new system, a betting process.
Then we're going to segue into Spurs. What do you think of Spurs? Spurs are winning without doing well.
I'm genuinely caught in the middle. Because I'm like...
They are passive.
Can they go... So, okay, so they're not playing well, but they are winning. So it's, can they go up a level, or is it the case where they're just overperforming? But then I was also looking at, for example, the Chelsea Tottenham game. When you look at it, you know, like now, like when I was younger, all I had to think about was whoever had the most possession played better ball should have deserved to win. But now, some teams control games by, okay, we'll
Without
make
the
you play possession,
ball.
but you're going to be in front of us and you won't be able to get through. And
He's
sometimes I
playing
look
without
at
the ball.
Tottenham,
That's what
I'm
kind of
like,
Tommy's strength is. Yeah.
yeah, I look at, I'm like, maybe this is what they're doing. But I'm not a fan of it. Like, I'll be like, hey, man, beautiful football, bro. I'm a national star. Unfortunately, I'm a national fan.
You were
I
raised
want
up
to see
like that,
silk.
bro.
Yeah, I want to
Yeah.
see silk. So as soon as I watch it, I'm like, nah, this is ugly. But then I'm also like, if this is what you're doing, it's effective and it's working. And then we have arguably the best attack in the country. Where when Son
Attacking
is
in
fast,
transition. Transition.
yeah, Jesus Christ. Sometimes I'll just like the way they just two, three passes and then you're boxing. I'm like, oh God, they're gonna score. Like they haven't. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, if this is how you want to set up and play, and you have the players capable, the addition of Richarlison slept on. Slept on.
I don't think it's
As
slept on, but
oh.
I think it's not rated enough because
I think so too. Because one, it's like, okay, now this front three, we don't have to play them to the ground. Great rotation option. Two, it's like, look at Son now, he's not playing too well. You can put Richarlison now, okay, our level's not going to drop, he will do well. And that was
He's
just,
a proper outlet too, bro.
it raises everyone's level. So my man, I'm like, okay, continue this is what you're trying to do. I see the vision. I'm also like, this is what you're trying to do? Or like, are you guys just not playing well and you're getting results? And maybe there'll come a turn, the time when the results will stop coming.
Or maybe that's how they are playing, bro. That, like you said, or maybe because maybe they're just like, you know what, we don't need the ball to control. Like, you know, he's at that. Conte has never really. Conte is can be a possession manager, but he also knows when and when not to adapt, which is why sometimes people think that, you know what, Conte would have been a fantastic Man United manager when Ole was sacked.
I think so. And I think he would have gotten you guys talk like into that talk already. Like, look what they were talking about, bro. Like, Tottenham pre. What's his name? Bless his soul. Nuno.
Esperanto, no,
Nuno. Nah. They were atrocious. I remember that Arsenal game we won. There was no midfield. Like, we're just having fun. Comes in, has a few months where he has to, realize that, okay, this is Spurs. And then gets his like, stuff together. So I'm like, okay. But with Tottenham, I'm like, they're definitely also in that race. Yeah. And I'm looking at
The
Kane now.
thing. Kane will probably die out. I don't even know how to rate it because I can't. The World Cup will have a lot of consequences.
That's another thing I'm looking at. This World Cup, it could potentially affect.
It
Because
affects
you
them a lot,
understand?
bro.
Yeah, I think they have Kane, you have Romero, you have Hugo Lloris. I think now the way Dier is playing is definitely.
Højbjerg.
Højbjerg is definitely going. Okay, I think Bentancur's going.
Bentancur. I think it's Argentine. I'm not sure. Argentine
Yeah,
or
I
Uruguay?
think Perisic right now is going. I don't know. Maybe it's because Spence locked up our left wing when he played. Well, I thought he would have been starting by now. It's still Emerson Royal.
I don't think Spence was a Conte signing. Conte has said it many, many times.
Interesting. Because I remember literally every club was like, yo,
But
we need Spence.
we
Give
need
that.
Spence. But
I
now,
remember when they got
the fact that Emerson Royal is even still starting, I didn't even thought that Perisic was even going to play on the right wing there, right? Cessinho and everything. But why not think? It's just that someone says they lack that creative player, but literally.
you didn't need it. That's the question before I jump to the question of Tottenham, I'm like, is it the case where this is what you want to do, which is working, or when the new creative play and this you'll get found out soon. So personally, I think as the season goes on, like it becomes like right now it's like, clubs are still like, some are still better than me, some are performing, some are underperforming. But now I'm like, okay, I don't know where to be with you guys yet.
No problem. But yeah, we move on to the XG gods.
Potter ball, baby.
The XG gods.
Potter
Nah,
ball.
drop your hand, fam. You said you don't rate XG, but I told you said you
I know
don't.
it's XG, but I rate Potter. Look, two things can be true. Two things. You're happy, I'm happy. Different reasons, but we're happy.
No, I'm happy because I read Potter, but I'm happy that he also proves that eventually, as far as you're creating good chances, the goals will come. But Graham Potter, fam, like, He's in top four, bruv.
What Brighton is doing, it needs to be
Do you
written in
think
the
that
book.
they lost two or three of their players this season? Yes, they did. Maupay, Cucurella, and Bissouma. And I see Gary McAllister playing DM, bro.
Pascal
Is
Gross,
it Gary McAllister or Alexis McAllister? I forgot his name.
Alex McAllister,
Alex McAllister, the Argentine, bro.
Pascal Gross has been playing well this season. Trossard's playing well this season, and I'm just looking at that team. I'm like, 4 or 5 months ago, beyond players would be sold. I'm not picking anyone on this team, but now I'm looking at, I said, I'm looking at Nwepu. I'm like, hey man, you know what? We'll give you a cheeky 50 million. Come on, man.
Caicedo. I always say that Man United were very stupid when they told Caicedo, but I also think that would Caicedo have had the environment to really be this player?
Same thing. I think I still have arguments with Arsenal fans over Saliba, where I'm like, yes, maybe he was better than Mustafi, Socrates, and but he's 19 years old, and everyone knows what Arsenal fans are like. A few mistakes now, and you're going to be on the 19 years who just moved countries. I think he lost his
Lost his
Real Madrid
mother out there.
because of that. I'm like, yeah, I understand why you learn back and say, you know what, being an environment where you are comfortable and you just grow and you come back and be fine. So it's like some of these players, it's like, or you look at, even though I personally think your Bruno G was ready to go all the way, but I'm like, I understand why, you know, you go to Newcastle and then look at him now. Looking.
But I don't even think he's leaving Newcastle, sir, because like Newcastle, even let's even just touch on their game, then we'll go to Brentford. Newcastle, what I saw from Newcastle is that Eddie Howe is creating chances. I think I saw their XG for that game was it 3 point something, and they didn't score at all. Then they had the one about Tarik Mitchell putting Willock into the goalkeeper, and they countered the goal against this thing when Tarik Mitchell scored the own goal. And I'm just like, you know what? And Isaac missed the golden chance, all of that. So it's just like they're looking good, and like it's a scary league. They're not easy
Bro,
games.
you go beyond the big six and you look
Oh,
at it.
sorry,
Newcastle.
Dip it, they played against Crystal Palace.
I was about to say, they play against Crystal Palace. You go beyond the big six and then you look at Newcastle, Crystal Palace, Brentford, Brighton. You don't want to go away and face those teams. Like, you just look at those 40s and then you have Wolves. I think Wolves, because I look at the midfield, I'm like, okay, you have a solid enough midfield where you need to get this together. So now I'm just looking at the Super Premier League, man. Every game, I'll be looking at the fixture list. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't want to play these guys. Ah, this is a way. Ah, no, this is a tricky player. And with Newcastle, I think Newcastle right now is, they shouldn't just focus on going, you know, jumping all the way. Okay, I'm fighting for the title. You're taking steps. Eddie Howe is building something, and it's looking good. Because I don't think they're yet to play with Bruno G, Isaac, and Saint-Maximin on the same team yet.
Yeah, they
Because I think,
haven't.
yeah, and then you still have Callum Wilson, you have the great midfielder himself, Joelinton. That team is looking good. And look, I'm kind of excited to see what the Premier League has in store for me this year. Because there's still so many teams. Zaha right now is like, he's heard enough slander on his name. I'm going to prove to you why. Your boy Berezi is hooping. Michael Olise, same thing, hooping.
Ivan Tony.
Asking that man, you know what, Eriksen left. I was like, because I think when they signed Eriksen, that 6 month period, I was like, okay, 2020, you know, I think he improved from January. Then I was like, ah, Eriksen is gone. Can this guy still maintain it? I'm still kind of surprised why no one went in for him.
I think they're just waiting. I think they are also probably like, you know, people always do background checks and all of that. But one
Yeah.
thing about Ivan Toney is that it will come with time. Ivan Toney, they needed one more season to prove it. Like, Ivan Toney is the one that scores a lot in one or two, three games. Let's say a space of 5 games, then we don't hear from him anymore. But he's still doing a lot of on the ball work, and it helps the team. But I also think if you put that kind of player and he keeps proving and proving and proving, he will be good. And I think that free kick that he scored, it just, my brother said it was, the voice of reason said it was like Drogba. And I was like, ah, you know the two-step Drogba free kick.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, bruv.
and no, and the same with Ivan Toney. I think he'll definitely get a move, and I think he'll be like, squad player is an insult. He's a team, just a team player. He might not start at the big 16, but having him as, okay, this is my second striker.
Richarlison type.
Yeah. I think he'll be like a good addition. So,
bro, he starts for United, bro. He starts for United right
now. He would, because the way you guys have stocks in 9 a.m., I've never seen something like this in my life. The people say Arsenal fans are the most loyal. What people have done with Martial, Jesus Christ.
No, but there's some players you can't just give up on. Like I'm impressing that you are like, even Dele Alli today, I just feel like something will eventually click. Like, they can't be able, like, I don't think a player just readily loses all his talent.
I was Arsenal fans of Walcott up until you realize it's 30 and I'm still calling him upper coming.
But Dele Alli is still 26. Anthony Martial is still 26.
Maybe,
and the thing is that Martial is just his availability that's his problem right now.
Yeah.
Because if you put him like in 3-4 games, it's gonna cook. Let's see.
Oh, he's real. But the problem, like, you need him to be there. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like, maybe this season, let's see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, okay, if Antonio is there, 35, 40 million, and Martial is still out here relatively, and then we get Ronaldo off the books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a bad shout.
Also, shout out to Ronaldo. I respect you for staying with us. But, well, your hand was forced.
We need that interview.
We need the interview. Shout out.
Come on.
It's already two weeks.
It's already.
Yeah, someone said it might be this guy. This guy from Good Morning Britain. Arsenal fan.
Piers. Oh, God. Sorry, I was going to ask, now that the window's closed, you can come and revisit this later. How would you rate your window?
I'll give it a 6.5.
Fair enough.
I'll give it a 6.5. Based on the money we spent and the planning, and we had to be chaotic, I'll give it a 6.5. But yeah, let's travel a bit to Italy. The Derby della Madonnin. Oh, the Milan Derby, bro.
Get your Rafael Leao in now.
Guys, I've been telling this guy about Rafael Leao for so long. I've been telling him about Italian Serie A last season. I was telling him about this league is actually chaotic. Look at how Roma were about to get to the top of the league this week. Next thing, they lose 4-0 to Udinese. Chaos is in that league, bro.
It is. I think I was watching the City game.
Mm.
I was like, well, this Milan Derby is, because I started watching the Milan Derby and I switched back. Yeah. I think that's when I saw old Milan, I was up 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
So the Brozovic run, I was like, damn, she got in the hit.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, Olivier Giroud, my grandkids would think that guy was the goat.
Bro, I can't lie to you. Every single time I ask myself, maybe Olivier Giroud peaked when he was older.
Nah, but like, just watching that, then you have, Sandro Tonali I've rated for a long time now.
For almost 4 years.
Yeah, then Benessa, looking good. Then Charles Di Cattolo. So I was like, damn, this midfield, like, you can come over.
Like, that front four, bro. That front four is actually quick. And then I think about Rafael Leao, bro. MVP last year, because the first goal, I think to myself, he took it first time on his left foot and generated that power to be able to place it. Although Andanovic got his hands to it, I thought to myself, like, that is a player.
That's impressive. And you look at his frame, you shouldn't be this with that frame and be techie like that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. Because honestly, I think when Chelsea were linked with him, you know, I didn't even care. I was like, they're going to go spend 100 million. Hey guys, keep him away from Chelsea, okay?
he has a contract to 2024, and I just found out about Madison's contract. Madison's contract ends in 2024, so he's in his final 2 years of his contract.
Next year, he's gonna have 1 year
left. So basically, then we think about, like, Rafael Leao for me is just a dynamic player. Like, for 2 years, like, even before last season, I just like, this boy has something. You know, when you watch the boy, you're just like, he's nice. They will now go and got a Mickey Me in the goal. Mike Maignan.
This man has overtaken Mendy, and I'm happy, man, because after all, when I saw Mendy pull, I was like, nah.
The last three games, bro.
We need to stay up, man. We need to stay up, Mike Maignan. France is in good hands. I'm even thinking probably after this World Cup is a good time to phase in that next generation.
Good, you know what? So Mike Maignan is such a good. To me, sometimes he's a complete package because he's good with his feet, sweeps, and he's a good shot stopper. And we just sit down and just like, this guy is good. And he came from Lille.
That's the thing with keepers, because at Lille, I'll be honest, I never really looked at him. But keepers, like, they pick later than other, like, positions.
He's still in his 20s, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's been, how long has he been around for, bro? Because I'm thinking about his Lille days, I'm like, I don't even care, man. Like, who is he? But then you dip, Spanish is in mid-20s, and he's only going to get better. I know that just, because as a keeper, confidence is key. You've won a league title, then you're in the Champions League, and now it's like your stocks are going. Yeah. Probably soon, you're going to be France, the French starting goalkeeper. Like, this is that was like, man, this guy's going to get better.
Yeah. But like, let's go quickly into Champions League. We're just going to have like 5 minutes to go into this. Champions League, what are your early predictions? Who are you thinking?
I saw that Yaya Touré said good things about City.
I think they're going to do better.
I think he spoke with the chairman and they've resolved it. He, Pep, and the chairman, red table discussion.
No, he, Pep, the chairman, and...
Labili. Labili.
I'm Pogba. I'm joking. But yeah, like...
Okay, so I think City has their prime to win it. But then boys up in Barcelona.
I said it at the beginning of the season. I'm just like... That squad is too good not to win. Like, I think
for me, I'm like, okay, that attack might be. It is scary. I'm not looking, okay, can the defense hold up? That's my question.
By the way, Lewandowski is also what they call it. Is it Lewandowski and Haaland? Get tax, bro.
I think before they left, they met with the Bundesliga body and the Bundesliga body begged them and said, please, our stocks outside are bad. just save us. Say, you know what? We got you, man.
We got you.
Right now, they are carrying, waving the tax up and down. Once in England, once in Spain. They say, you know what? We'll attack this. Someone go to France soon. Someone go to Italy
soon, bro.
Nah, but it is crazy. Like, for me, I think City favorites. Of course, you can't forget about football heritage. You can never remove Madrid. After what happened,
you're like literally. I always say, my brother said Madrid is in a better squad than, and to the next extent, I see what he's saying. But like Madrid are rebuilding slightly.
Oh, they're rebuilding, and I think they're doing it well.
Yeah, they're doing it well, but those mistakes are going to be made, like Tchouaméni, the fact they sold Casemiro, which I think was a year too early. But let's see. Like Madrid always have proved us wrong from time to time. Oh.
From the Casemiro one, 70 million. I think it's one of those where it's too hard to pass up. But yeah, like for me, I think not that it's not cities to lose, but it's there for the taking. And I think City should go all the way for that one. I think this is the year.
You guys still don't rate PSG?
With PSG.
Those guys scare me. No, like, you know what I think about?
I watched their game. Was it against Monaco? The first decent team. The draw. No, the 1-1.
Yeah.
And that was the first like decent team they faced. And I was like, I actually saw like some problems here and there. But then again, I think it was Verratti and Renato.
Mm-hmm.
That Verratti, Vitinha. I think that's what people do get starting.
Yeah.
And then so for me, I'm just like, okay. PSG is the kind where, like, let me see, I have to see it to believe it. Because last year, I was all about, PSG is going all the way, and we all know how it all ended.
No, I also think that maybe Pochettino was not just playing well. Like, Pochettino, he didn't switch to a back three. Like, when you now watch them in the back three, and I think Pochettino doesn't have the control of the dressing room, a lot of things, and they signed the players this season, they signed. It's like, even if Verratti gets injured, I know Verratti is injury prone, but they signed a good player like Fabinho Ruiz, who built the ball from the back, Renato Sanchez, Vitinha, Carlos Soler, what they call it, if they want to go direct to a striker that can hit the ball, they bought this guy. What's the name of this baller again?
Newcastle.
Yeah, the one that, Ugo Ekitike.
Yeah.
Ugo Ekitike, and It's just a lot of good signing. No Mendes, then they bought back up for what do you call it? Hakimi in what do you call it? Mukelele. All of these things are why I was saying that Mbappe staying at PSG does more good than harm in the long run.
Oh, no, definitely. And I think it also helped them because now you can attract the players. And also, you know, if they had gotten what is it, they had told Mbappe, then it's like they panic. Mm-hmm. And there's, oh, we need to get a star. And then they go overpay for a player who might not fit what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. But having which was what they were doing under Leonardo, which was their former sporting director. Now they bought Luis Ocampo, who knows what he's doing.
And yeah.
For me, they, like...
They've gotten rid of some of the players who I do not know why they were...
Ganage, bro, Draxler is no longer there. That is how you know things have changed. Every year, I've seen Draxler being renewed.
No links with Arsenal anymore. No links with Arsenal anymore.
Yeah.
We're done with that. I think Götze was last year. We're done with him. Draxler this year. Hopefully next year...
They got rid of Ganage too. The only person that I don't agree that is in their team is Danilo Pereira, but he's a good cover-up for backup. Sergio Ramos seems to be playing in a back three. Like, I don't know. It's just like every time I watch their games, because I like to see what it is going on there. But, and I think, you know what? It's not that bad. But yeah, so you think it's Man City?
I think City. Then I think the Spanish clubs, Super Madrid, Barca.
I don't still see Bayern. Bayern are still undercooked.
I think they need a year of just gelling on the set. They'll go further, you know, semi-finals kind of stages, but I don't...
No, quarter-finals. I don't, like, they don't have that cutting edge yet. Like, another week again, they've drawn two games in a row against Union Berlin, who are fantastic, let's be honest. Like, if you know Union Berlin, they're actually a fantastically run club. But, generally speaking, I just think Bayern are quite undercooked for time. And, just one final question. Who do you think is getting relegated in the Premier League?
Well, I really know Bournemouth is gone.
Mm-hmm.
As tick one. As of 2 weeks ago, I thought number two was going to be Aston Villa.
Mm-hmm. They survive. Have too much quality to get relegated, bro.
I think they'll survive. And then you have the big spenders of the Premier League.
Nottingham
21
Forest.
New players. Nottingham Forest. That is a lot of players. And I don't know if...
You know, I told you, like, they lost 12 players, but to keep... It was when they bought Batshuayi. I was like, nah, come on. What are you buying him
like,
for?
Like for me, I remember when they were like 15, I was like, no, you need quality. Like, to stay up. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you can say, oh, no, we have a system. We're going to be dogged. We're going to, you know, we have a big stadium and the atmosphere, but you need quality. So I was like, okay, at 15. 21, all these players, you have to, one, the coach has to figure out what is my best lineup.
And you're into the season.
And the problem now is, you know, with like, if you had maybe Europa and stuff like that, you know, you have enough tinker, you figure it out. Now we say every game is important for them. So, like, and now it's like, what, 6 games in? And it's like, they're going through this. Then if the coach don't realize it, the players also have to get into understand how they want to play, understand how they want to play with each other. So I think Nottingham Forest is another one. Then the third one, as much as people are high on them, I think Leeds might go down.
I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe
that. I know you do. I know you love Jesse Marsh.
Uh-huh.
But I think at the end of this, like, it's going to be the case where
they said that this isn't good, well, bro.
They said this isn't well, but I don't know. It's my gut feeling. And sometimes you just have to follow
it. You know, like you always say, when you know something too, you have to, because the times you don't follow it, you always feel.
Yeah. So now I'm just like, they might go down. But I don't think it would be like clear. I think Bournemouth is clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
Nottingham Forest are next then, but the third one, I think it might go down to the last 5 games. You're going to have like 2 or 3 teams trying to figure it out. Leicester, if they don't get their stuff together.
Because they look dead in that game. They look dead in their last 5 games.
Right? And the problem now is, it gets to a point where I think Rodgers has checked out, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of thing where you're looking at like...
The players have checked out too, bro.
We're building something. You let some of my players go. Mm-hmm. He's leaving next year. Madison is gone in 2 years. I think it's a case where players might just be like players are gone, coach is gone. Something has to change, and I hope it won't be too late.
All right. Thank you very much for a wonderful episode. Thank you, Big B, the guy, Baudi.
Hey, man. My dinners will run, bro. Breakout season, Martinelli.
Hit us hat on. So thank you for coming on to the episode. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Highline Podcast. See you guys next week. Check out us on all social media platforms. And yeah, one love.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend as well, too.